ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are celebrating appearance day of Lord Narasimhadev. So this story appears in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So beginning is like this, that when Maharaj Parikshit is asking to Sukadev Goswami, when he heard that the Supreme Personality of Godhead took the form of Varaha, and then he killed Hiranyaksha, who was a demon. So the question came in the minds of Maharaj Parikshit that Supreme Personality of Godhead is equal to everyone. Then why is that he has sided with the demons, sided with the demigods and killed the demon? Because there is always a fight between the demigods and demons. So why is that the king of demigods, that is Indra, was helped by Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu and the demon was killed? So while answering to that question, the Sukadeva Goswami says that actually, as far as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is concerned, he is equal to all the living entities. And we find that there is a duality in this world, that we have different relationship with different persons. Some are our friends, some are our enemies. But this duality occurs in this material world because of bodily concept of life. Because we consider ourselves as this material body. So naturally, a person who helps in our sense gratification is considered as a friend, whereas a person who obstructs that sense gratification is considered as enemy. So that's why there are always, we have a friendship with some people and some people are enemy with us. Because what happens is, if there is an enemy, we have to protect ourselves. He can destroy us, he can give us some harm. And because of that, we have to keep some of our friends who can protect us from different types of calamities. But as far as Supreme Personality of Godhead is concerned, he is a transcendental. His body is not like that of us, made of panchatattvas, made of material elements. So as far as Supreme Personality of Godhead is concerned, he doesn't need to keep this kinds of relationship. Because even if somebody wants to harm him, nobody can harm him. Because he is the supreme controller. So there is no person in this whole universe who can do any harm to him. And what can we do as far as praise is concerned? It doesn't depend on our friendship or any help from us. Though he reciprocates as per the sentiments of his devotees, but actually he is not dependent on whether it's you praise him or whether you hate him. Whereas we are concerned, we have to maintain different kinds of relationships. But then what happens is, when Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if kills somebody, and it appears as his behavior is partial, but that killing itself is also a benediction. That we have seen in the 10th canto, where Supreme Personality of Godhead in the beginning itself kills Putna Dimanes. But actually what happens is, the intention of her was to kill Lord Krishna. But Lord accepted her as a mother, sucked her breast, and then ultimately she was elevated to the position of Lord Krishna's mother. So even though it appears that the Supreme Personality of Godhead took away the life of Putna, but still in that process, she was also awarded a highest position. So that's why we have to see that we make a distinctions like this. Srila Prabhupada, very simple example, he explains this, that there is a government is providing all facilities to its citizens equally. And then we find that some people Now they are awarded with the highest awards. Like in India, we have different awards like Padma Shri or Padma Bhushan or Bharat Ratna. Whereas the same government sometimes is seen that punishes its citizens by awarding the death punishments or capital punishments. So is it government partial or impartial? Because for one person is being rewarded so much honor is offered to him, at the same time another person is put to death. So there is no problem as far as government is concerned, the problem is at the recipient. If a person behaves properly, he will be rewarded. If a person doesn't behave properly, then he will be punished. And we can take even the example of a simple, like a teacher is there and teaching to the class and imparting the same instructions. But all students, they don't score equally in the exams. One particular student who is very brilliant, he was able to grasp the teachings of the teacher, that can score 100 out of 100, whereas another person who doesn't understand anything cannot even score a single mark. So it's not that the teacher, he is partial in imparting the instructions. The problem is a person who is receiving. So Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually equal to everybody. But then what happens is, because the demons, they are so much engrossed in bodily concept of life, and they are not interested to listen to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then Supreme Personality of Godhead has to take the corrective actions. But when Supreme Personality of Godhead takes the corrective action, that also benefits him. And then Narad Muni also explains that in case of Shishupal, now he was in enmity, ill feeling towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was always trying to destroy Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though he was not able to properly pronounce the syllables, and that time also he maintained enmity towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Though he was not able to speak properly, still he started blaspheming the Supreme Lord. And always he had those thoughts. But then what happens is, what Krishna sees is that even though he is blaspheming me, but how much time he has taken my name. And since he is absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna, slowly, slowly they also get purified. So even though Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead kills them, but they, after the killing, attain the Sahaja Mukti. And after that, they are again elevated according to their positions. So this is how in the first chapter it is explained that actually the Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. And those people who are favorable, they take the advantage of his instructions and progress. Whereas those who do not take the example, do not take proper understanding of the Lord's teaching, they have to suffer. But as the Supreme Lord is concerned, he is giving all facilities equally to all the living entities. So this is how the chapter begins. And then in the next chapter we find that Hiranyakashipu is consoling his family members. When Hiranyaksha dies, his wife, the sister-in-law of Hiranyakashipu, and his sons, nephews, and the mother of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, she was also lamenting. So actually Hiranyakashipu becomes very angry that Supreme Personality of Godhead has killed my brother, because he was very much attached to his brother. Brother was very obedient to him. And when he sees that Supreme Lord has killed him, he becomes very angry. But when he sees that he is surrounded by his family members, Hiranyakashipu was very, very expert diplomat. He knew exactly how to behave and in different circumstances. So that time, that situation, he starts preaching to his family members and instructs them that why they should not be lamenting. And he says that actually Ghanaraksha was killed in the battlefield. He was a Kshatriya, and for Kshatriya to die in a battlefield is actually very glorious. So you shouldn't be lamenting that he lost the battle, because that's every hero wants, that he should show his progress, and if the dead has to come, then it should come on the battlefield. And Kshatriya is like glorified for that act of his valor, the act which he's doing, like fighting act which he has to do. And then the Hiranyakashipu starts instructing that how in the family everybody comes together for a short period of time, and according to the karma of each living entity, ultimately they will go to different places. He gives the example that in a place of restaurant or in a place where cool water is served, so different pilgrimages and different travelers will come in that place for some time. All of them will sit in one, under one shelter, under one roof. For some time they will be together, but once they finish their business of eating or drinking water, then everybody will go according to their destinations, never to meet again. So similarly, all the family members, they come together for some period of time in particular family, and once their respective karma is over, again they go to their different destinations. So this is how he begins to instruct this understanding, that how they shouldn't be lamenting that they have lost one of their family members. And then they start saying that how this body is different from the soul. He says that why you are lamenting over the body which is made of all these material elements, and very soon all these material elements will be destroyed. But whereas the soul that resides in the body is always eternal. So it's stated that how this body is temporary. Now we have seen that this body gives us so much of trouble, and scriptures, they have graphically described how this material body behaves, how it acts. If you see, we have experience that this body is filled so much with different kinds of obnoxious materials. There is a blood, there is a marrow, and then there is a blood, then stool as well as urine. So all these things contains in the body, and all these things are considered as impure things. But still, just because on this body there is a nice covering of the skin, now we cannot see all these things inside the body. And this body is, then we develop so much attachment to that. When Srila Prabhupada was giving the example that how we became deluded by this, and he was saying that in Mayapur, if you have seen, that they make different dioramas. So initial stage, if you see those dioramas, they are made of grass, bamboos, and then they are tied up. But the person who is making all those dioramas, in the progressive stage, then once they are completed, then very nice coating is given, and then that coating is given nice pulp finishing, and then you can see a beautiful dioramas. But then you forget that inside that initial stage, that it contained all grass and other things. And when you see that form, you don't develop attachment to that. But once you give that nice coating over it, a nice painting and very nice finishing, then you get so much attracted to that. So similarly, this body is similar, made of so many impure materials. But because there is a nice skin that covers over it, now we start developing attachment to that. Like we have experienced many times, this body gives foul smell. Now we experience it, we see that, but still we can't give up that attachment towards the body. It is given an example. Let us say that you have a very nice golden pot, but inside the golden pot you fill up all impurities. Then a person who has a proper understanding, proper knowledge, will never develop any attachment towards that golden pot, because that person knows that inside is simply hollow. It's filled with impurities. But a person who just goes on external things, now he will have attachment to that. And we have seen that though this body, we are so much attached to that, we take so much care of it, but right from the beginning, it gives us a trouble. When we are in the womb of our mother, so that time when mother eats any different things, so that kind of rasas give trouble to the infant child inside the body. And then person has to be remain in that dark condition and a very small place. He has to remain for few months. And once after that, then the child is born. And initial stage, the infant is not able to do anything on its own, unless mother clears the stool and urine that is passed by the child. Till that time, he has to just stay in that condition. And then slowly, slowly, the child grows up. And then there are different ceremonies. There's another ceremony where you pierce the ears of the child. So that time also there is a pain. And then slowly again, the child grows up. And naturally, all the children, they like to play. But the parents, they force them that you have to go to the school. You have to complete your homework. So naturally your inclination is to play, but still you have been forced to do the things which you don't like. And then again, slowly you grow up, you understand few things. After that, immediately you get so much attracted to the opposite sex. And the whole time, always you are thinking, planning or scheming so that you can have attachment, or you can fulfill your attachment to the desired objects. After that, again the person gets married, then he has to take added responsibilities to maintain the family. He has to work hard, and still he has to be responsible for his extended family and whatever the byproducts that he gets. And as things grows on, then again he has to worry for the children's education, then later on their marriages. And after doing all these things, then approaches the old age. So when person becomes old, naturally that person is not so much liked in the families, unless this is a family of a devotees, a God conscious. That's a time where the senior people are respected. But usually in materialistic life, a person who is old, it doesn't give much importance. We have seen that so many old people, they are very, very miserable, neglected life. Because all the time he is the boss in the family and everything has to go according to his will. And the children many times doesn't like the nature of this person, but somehow that they can't do anything because he is a controller. But once he becomes old, he loses control of the family. And that's the time many times the family members, they start taking revenge or they start behaving ill towards him. So though he is the main person in the family, but still he has to live a life of a neglected person. Now he tries to give so many instructions, but on and off he has been insulted and so much strong words are spoken against him. And after that, as the time comes of leaving his body, many times we have seen, like when person is living body, that's a very, very painful stage. The all mucus and cough comes stuck to his throat. He is not able to speak, but somehow he is able to sometimes listen. And he is surrounded by all his kinsmen, all his relatives. And through their talks he can understand that even though I'm still alive, these people are discussing how wealth has to be divided, now who is going to get what, and they are fighting right in front of me, and I should be getting this share in the property, that share in the property. So instead of showing some sympathy towards me, He sees all these children for whom he worked so hard in his life are simply neglecting him. And then scripture describes that how death comes is 40,000 scorpion bites. Like those who have got scorpion bite, they can understand even one scorpion bite is so much painful. It's been described as if you take burning coal and keep it on your skin, how much pain that we have, that is equivalent to one scorpion bite. You can't, if it is a coal, you can throw it away. But it's once you, like, this bite is there, at that particular location, it will be so painful and it remains for a few hours. It depends on your body. Sometimes it gives pain you for a few hours, sometimes 24, sometimes 48 hours. So, at the time of death, you get so much pain. So this is what the body is made of. But still, now we have so much attachment towards it. And then Hiranyakashipu goes on explaining that one story in the history. Now he says that there was a very good Gandharva king named Suyajna. And once he died in the battlefield, so all his wives, they came and started lamenting. He was a very big hero, and the description is given that his head was cut off. His face was so beautiful. It was like a lotus and it was always shining, but now it was covered with the dust from the battlefield. All his ornaments were scattered. His hands, who were holding swords, his hands was also cut off. So like in that position he was lying on the battlefield. So all the queens, they came together and started lamenting. And they were not allowing body to be taken for the final rituals. And it's a custom that if a person dies in the daytime, before sunset, we have to perform all the rites. Or if a person dies in the night time, then before next sunrise, then we have to perform all the rites. But the king's queens were so attached to the body of this king that they were not allowing a body to be taken. And they were crying so loudly that their cries were heard even in the abode of Yamraj. So Yamraj says that now this soul is stuck, like when soul leaves his body at the time of death, but it still hovers around the dead body. And when the dead body is completely destroyed, it goes away. So in this case, Yamraj was observing that because his body was still lying, this soul of this king was still hovering around. And unless that body has been destroyed, it will not go to its next destination and just remains in the body of a ghost. So it's neither here nor there. So he decides that he has to correct the situation. Then he takes the form of a little boy and comes on that scene. Because little boys, the small boys, they can go to any place. Usually they are not restricted. They can even go in the palace of a king also. So he takes this form of a very small boy. And when the small boy speaks philosophy, usually people listen very attentively. So Yamraj takes this form of a small boy and goes to the scene and starts addressing the queens. And he says that how it is surprising that these women are older in age. They have seen there so many kinsmen, they died, and they also know that one day they are also going to die, but they are so much lamenting about the dead, about their husband. And then he was saying that, see, look, I am unprotected. My parents, they left me. I came from the forest. And still, in the forest, there are so many ferocious animals, tigers and lions. But still, there is no harm done to me. And he was explaining that how these ladies, why you are so much attached to this person. He was saying that ultimately, everybody has to die. And he was saying that if Lord wants to offer protection, nobody can destroy that. He gave the example this. Now sometimes we experience that we lose our money on public street and everybody sees that, but still a person who has lost it comes back and takes back his money. Whereas in some other circumstances we see that money is kept very secured in the home under safe custody and it gets stolen. So he was saying that ultimately this Krishna is the supreme controller. And if he wants to protect, he will give protection. And if he withdraws the protection, nobody can do anything. We are completely helpless as far as material nature is concerned. And we have to be totally surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he was explaining like that person for whom you are lamenting is still lying in front of you. That you are saying that the king has gone, but actually the king's body is still right in front of you. So Srila Prabhupada writes that this is a simple common understanding. Even a common person can understand his teachings. That when we say this person has gone, person has left us, means the spirit soul in the body has left, but the body is still there. So even a common person also can understand that the body and soul, these are the two different things. And when we say that the person has died, means the soul has left. So the person for you are lamenting is right in front of you. So why you are still lamenting? And as far as soul is concerned, for soul there is neither birth nor death. So now it has just given up this body and according to its karma is going to get another body. Then this Yamraj quoted another story where he was saying that there was a pair of birds called Kulinga, and their husband wife were there. They had a little nest and they also had their small children. So once both husband and wife went to the forest so that they can get some food back to their children. And a hunter comes there, he lays his net, and somehow the female gets trapped in that net. So when the female bird gets trapped in the net, she starts lamenting that what can I do? Now I have to die. I got trapped in this net. I have small children in my nest. Now who can take care of them? So like that she starts lamenting. And then the he bird, when he sees that wife is being trapped and he finds himself that he is also in totally helpless condition, there's nothing he can do in this, he also starts lamenting about his children. And that time the hunter, by the will of providence, he also shoots arrow and that he bird also gets killed. So here Ramdas says that although you look at me, I am such a small boy, I am wandering in the forest, and Supreme Personality of Godhead wants to protect, he can give protection. He says, now you have died, but still if Krishna wants to take care of the small children, they will definitely survive. And we have experience of these things. Now many times we have seen that patient is there and he is suffering from the same disease. We bring expert doctor, expert treatment is given, and still a person dies. Whereas in other circumstances the person doesn't get any medical help, but still it survives. And we have seen that in nearby our area, that there was one doctor was staying in his government quarters, and at night time he got a snake bite. So naturally he became very alerted. He ran to his dispensary, got that anti-snake venom, got injected to him, but he died. And later on in investigations we found out that the snake that was bitten was not poisonous, and the reason he died is because of the medicine that he took, the dose which he took, the anti-snake venom, that itself is a poison. So he died because of that. So here we find that the patient is a doctor himself, he is a properly trained, he knows all these things, but because the time has come, he was helpless, he was taken away. And sometimes we read in the newspaper, many times people try to commit suicide. And once there was an article where a person completely disgusted with his life and wanted to end his life, jumps from the 10th floor of his building. But as he jumps, as he comes down, there was a vegetable vendor who was walking below and he was carrying his used basket. So this fellow lands up right in that basket, and then what happens is this poor fellow who was selling vegetables, because this huge load just drops on his head, his neck gets twisted and he dies on the spot, whereas a person who wants to die, he survives. So this is how we see that everything depends on the will of Supreme Personality of Godhead. That if he wants to give protection, then no matter how hard we try to end this life, we will still survive. And when the protection is withdrawn, no matter how strong arrangement you make, it will be a failure. So like that, Yamraj instructs them. Then he says, look, if you keep lamenting like this for 100 years, still your husband is not going to come back and your life will be lost. So instead of that, let this body be taken to the crematorium, and your life you should spend in a Krishna conscious activities. So instead of lamenting over the things which you are not supposed to be lamenting, so if you understand the things in proper spirit, then you will see that what is the difference between body and the soul, then you need not unnecessarily lament over just the covering which the soul has got. So after receiving all these instructions, then the queens, they understand the things and then let the body to be burned. So like that, after in this way Hiranyakashipu preaches nicely to his family members, then family members also understand, their grief gets reduced, they stop lamenting. And then Hiranyakashipu, after giving these wonderful instructions, now he had brought exact knowledge of Vedas, that we are not this body but the spirit soul. But still this revengeful attitude remains. And he was such a powerful fellow that after he sees that all his family members are gone, then he gathers all his friends. And he became so angry at the death of his brother Hiranyakashipu that he just looks at the sky, and the sky becomes smoky because of his anger. Such was his power. And then he calls all his demon associates and he says that we have to take revenge of death of my brother. So all of you should go to all the three worlds, wherever there are religious activities are being conducted, wherever the brahmanas are doing yajnas, wherever there is a cow protection, all these places should be destroyed. He thinks that people are doing all these pious activities, then benefit is received by the demigods, they become strong. So if you cut this Vedic way of life, Vedic civilization, then naturally if devatas, they don't receive the share, they will become dried up and they will also die. So this was his understanding. So all demons, they start doing their job because they were so obedient towards Hiranyakashipu that after receiving his instruction, they offer obeisances and very obediently they go to all the places and start destroying Vedic, wherever there was a Vedic culture, they start destroying. Wherever there are ashrams of the sages, wherever they are performing yajnas, not even that, all the trees, all the forest were destroyed by the demons. And totally the life was made miserable. Nobody could perform any religious activities. And then Hiranyakashipu himself goes for performing the austerities. And then he performs very severe austerities, like he stands on his toes with hands upraised, looking at the sky. So like that, because this condition is very difficult for any one of us to stand even for a minute. But Hiranyakashipu stood like this for 100 celestial years, not the 100 years of our life. So this celestial years, our very duration is very big. So he stood like that, and the demigods, they were relieved temporarily, because now he is doing tapasya, so they returned to their homes. But when they saw that heat that is emanating from the head of this Hiranyakashipu is so strong that their abodes were also getting that heat, they were unable to stay there. So all of them, they together goes to see Lord Brahma. And they tell Lord Brahma that, look, this demon is doing tapasya, but his intention is to occupy your post. He wants that power by which he will be so powerful. And then they were saying that if he occupies such a big post, if he gets the almost like control of this material energy, then since he is asura, he is a demon, he will make life miserable for all of us. But then Brahma says that if he is doing tapasya, I will have to offer him the benedictions. So along with all of them, he comes down to this earth planet and offers whatever benediction that Hiranyakashipu wanted. So here we see the main characteristic of a demon is they are envious towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what does word envy means? Envy means a desire to possess which something which someone else has got. And if someone else has got wealth, if he has ability to speak, or if he has any other ability, envious person would like to have that person. And many times he employs unlawful means to get it. So what was the position of Hiranyakashipu? That he was envious towards Lord Vishnu. He was thinking he has killed my brother. So he is so powerful. So instead of Vishnu, I should be powerful. But he knew that if he wants to be powerful, he has to do severe tapasya. There is no alternative for that. So he does that severe tapasya. But what happens is, when there is an envy in the heart, the very first symptom that happens is a person loses his intelligence. And when person loses his intelligence, he doesn't discriminate what is good, what is beneficial for him, and what is not beneficial for him. So in this case, we see that he had perfect understanding that he is not this body but a spirit soul. He knew that demigods are powerful because of the pious activities that they perform. But still the envious heart, he couldn't understand the position of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then what happens is, when Brahma comes right in front of him and Hiranyakashipu starts glorifying Lord Brahma. So when he is glorifying this thing, he addresses Lord Brahma as if he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the maintainer of all these things. Lord Brahma is actually secondary creator. Brahma is born from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. But instead of that, the prayers which actually should be offered to Lord Vishnu, befitting to his position, Hiranyakashipu offers it to Lord Brahma. But Lord Brahma is, after all, one powerful demigod. And when he receives these benedictions, he explains these prayers. He tries to explain to Hiranyakashipu that actually I myself is not immortal, and I can't give you the benedictions that you are looking for. But then what happens is, he starts speculating from his own intelligence. And he thinks that If I make this arrangement, then nobody will be able to kill me. And then he starts offering various benedictions. He says that anyone you have created, all living entities are created by Lord Brahma. So he says that any living entities created by you, that cannot kill me. So he says that then everybody in this material world is eliminated. I am totally foolproof. I can't get killed by them. Then he says I should not get killed by man also, as well as any animal. Because Lord Varaha, Lord Vishnu takes the form of Lord Varaha in the form of animal. So he says that look, let us make that way also, let us block that fashion. Then I should not be killed in daytime or even the evening also. I should not be killed by any weapon because Lord Vishnu has got Sudarshan Chakra. So maybe that he will throw that. So he says that no weapon should act on me. So like that he makes all these arrangements. But how much intelligence a living entity can have? The source of all intelligence is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then we see the mentality of demon is that the servant wants to become a master. He wants to occupy the post of master. Because what he did is that he, by getting all these benedictions, he made himself almost equivalent to Lord Brahma. Nobody can kill him. And then what happens is, after occupying that post, it starts exploiting. Srila Prabhupada gives that example that how this demonic person has this mentality. Even in today's world we have seen that in the history there are so many examples where servant is always planning how he can occupy the post of his master. Then he gave the example of Subhadri Rai. He was saying that Subhadri Rai himself was a very big landlord and he had many servants. And among that he had one Mohammedan servant who was working for him. And this Subhadri Rai, because he was a devotee of Lord, he would always take nice care of his servants. And this servant had habit of stealing. So when he did this theft, Subhadri Rai inflicted a severe punishment on him. And because of that, there was a mark on his back. But somehow that this fellow, by crooked means, went to the top position in Bengal. He became the Nabab Hussein of whole Bengal province. And when his wife saw the mark on the back of Nawab, when she inquired, then this Nawab told him that in my childhood, the Subhadri Rai, he punished me like this. So wife wanted to take the revenge, but since this Nawab, though he was a crooked person, he knew that I was nicely trained, nicely taken care by my master. So I can't think of killing him. But as per the advice of his wife, he converted him into the Muslim religion. So Srila Prabhupada writes that this is the mentality of all the demons. The servant will always want to be master. He gave the example of a devotee of Lord Shiva, who did so much tapasya, got the benediction. And the same benediction he wanted to use to kill Lord Shiva himself. So this is how the demons will be always doing it. And Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport that when Lord Brahma was created and when he got this knowledge of Veda, but that time there were two demons called Madhu and Kaitava. And both the demons attacked Lord Brahma and stole Vedic knowledge from that. And then again Lord Vishnu had to intervene, kill those demons and give back knowledge to Brahma. So even if you occupy such a top position in this material world of Brahma, but still you are not free from the danger. Even at that position also, Brahma was totally helpless against these two demons. And he couldn't do anything till he was helped by the Supreme Lord. So we see that a person who is envious, he loses his intelligence, and then next thing is that happens is that he becomes confused and gets influenced by the Maya. That we have seen that the various benedictions which Hiranyakashipu was asking, that he was totally confused. Actually, these benedictions are in fact a curse. Because what happens is, if you have these benedictions, you get more possessions. But in the material world, if you have more possessions, and if you have no God conscious understanding, if you have no religious life, if you have no understanding of Dharma, then all these possessions will be ultimately cause of your distractions. Then what is the use of these possessions? So, this is how you can get confused and get influenced by the Maya, where you cannot discriminate what is good for you and what is not good for you. What is the attitude of the devotee of the Lord? He properly understands the nature of a spirit soul is to be servant of the Lord. So he doesn't aspire to be the master. Whereas the nature of materialistic person is always how he can become the master. So this is how then Hiranyakashipu gets all these benedictions. He becomes so powerful that very soon he conquers all the 10 directions. He occupies the throne of Indra. All the demigods, they come under his control. And there are so many demigods working for this material universe. But Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that he single-handedly managed all the departments. He didn't need any assistant for himself. Except for Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva and Brahma, everybody was under his control. And he was so powerful, it was described that when King Vena was there, he was ruling, that time he was fearful towards the sages like Bhrigu Muni and others. He always conducted his life in such a way that he doesn't get cursed from this personality. But whereas Hiranyakashipu was so powerful, that he made himself so powerful that these saintly persons were also ineffective in front of him. So he was not having any fear of being cursed by the saintly persons also. So naturally, a person who is envious, he will start expecting the respect from others. So this is how Hiranyakashipu wanted to be the sole enjoyer. So he conquered all the demigods. So whatever opulence Indra was enjoying, there is a lot of description in the scriptures about the Swargaloka, how Indra and all other demigods they enjoy. This was enjoyed alone by this Hiranyakashipu. Right from lower planetary system to the higher planetary system, whatever was beautiful was snatched by the Hiranyakashipu. So this case we find that everybody was offering respect to Hiranyakashipu. The demigods were so fearful for their life that even if Hiranyakashipu just looks into their directions, they would become so fearful. The earth would produce all the things that were required without even being plowed. The fruits were produced in all seasons. Whatever you want is there in all the seasons. So everybody was so fearful towards the Hiranyakashipu. So that's the characteristics of a person who is envious, who always wants the respect. And to get this respect, he is willing to go to any extent. We have seen the example of Duryodhana, where he attended Rajasuya sacrifice and he saw Maharaj Yudhishthira is enjoying so much opulence, and because he was envious towards Maharaj Yudhishthira, he was always thinking, why I don't get this respect which Maharaj Yudhishthira is getting. But what was the position of Maharaj Yudhishthira? He conducted Rajasuya sacrifice not for getting some pious credits. He didn't get or to show his opulence. The only reason that he performed his sacrifice was that he wanted to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he knew, if he performs this sacrifice, everybody will attain. All the saintly persons will come to attain this ceremony. And not all the saintly persons are on the same understanding. Now some saintly persons, they were worshipping demigods. Some were attracted to the impersonal aspect. So Maharaj Yashasvi knew that he is a king. So he has to guide all the people staying in his kingdom towards the lotus feet of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I will conduct this sacrifice. And in one of the function in this sacrifice is that you have to perform Agra Puja. You have to select the topmost personality in the universe. So I will select naturally Supreme Personality of Godhead. And once I select him, then everybody will understand that he is the Supreme and all other demigods as well as all other saintly persons are subordinate to him. So just to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he wanted to perform the Rajasya sacrifice. So he was conducting Rajasya sacrifice as we perform different festivals. To organize, we need help of so many people and we give different departments to different people to handle it. So naturally, this Rajasya sacrifice, different personalities were given the different responsibilities. Lord Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, took the responsibility of washing the feet of all the guests, those who came for this sacrifice. Bhima was given the in charge of kitchen department because he was able person to handle this department. And Duryodhana was given the responsibility of receiving the gifts on behalf of Maharaja Yudhishthira. Karna was given department of giving charity. So like this, he was given these tasks. So the day when he started doing his job, he opened the gates and he stood in the front to receive all the gifts. And he saw a huge queue, a long serpentine queue in front of him. There were Brahmins, they came, the Vaishyas were came, Kshatriyas were there, all Shudras were there. Because Maharaj Yudhishthira was Ajata Shatru, everyone wanted to give what is best he has. Whatever the best thing everybody had, wanted to offer to the Maharaj Yudhishthira. So this fellow started receiving. As he was receiving the gifts, he saw so many jewels. Now Duryodhana was king himself, but still he saw the jewels which he had not seen in his lifetime. And all very quickly he was doing his job, but there was no sign that queue is ending. And this poor fellow, his heart, hands started aching because of just receiving the gifts and keeping it. And he was looking at such a wonderful gifts. But what was happening? The envy in the heart of Duryodhana was increasing. And then he saw how this grand function was conducted. He saw that there are big prasadam halls that are there. And when one prasadam hall gets filled with 1 lakh people, then they would blow conch shell that now this place is full, please go to the next destination, next prasadam hall. And when he was standing there, he could see from all directions this conch shell is being blown. So he couldn't calculate now how many people are being fed. And then he saw Maharaj Yudhishthira is bathed with water collected from all over the places as well as sea from 4 directions. So he understood from the west and south and east you get water from those seas. But the north area where only birds can go to that place. But still Arjuna went to that place, fetch water for Maharaj Yudhishthira's bathing. Then he saw that the container was made of a solid gold and it was bedecked with very precious jewels, and with that sanctified water Maharaj Yudhishthira was bathed, and all the paraphernalia there was made of solid gold. Even all those guests were served everything was served, done in golden utensils, and everybody was offering respect to them. Maharaja Yudhishthira and Pandavas, Arjuna was giving so much of charity, and then there was a very divine conch shell. When it was being blown, practically everybody became unconscious except Pandavas, Lord Krishna, Satyaki, Drishtadyumna. Everyone else became unconscious. So when this fellow became conscious, got up, he saw that Pandavas and others are laughing at him. So he understood that he is ordinary in front of others. And then when he was roaming in their palace, he could see such a wonderful things created by Maya Danav. Then when he was roaming, and he saw there was one nice gate, and he thought that gate is open, so he just walked in, but actually that gate was closed. So he banged his head against the wall and injured his head. And then Sahadev came and told him that, "Oh king, this is the way you have to go." So he became very angry, for without no reason he chastised some servants. Then he came in front of another door which appeared closed. So with all his force he pushed that door, but the door was open, so he fell to that side. And everybody again started laughing. As he was roaming, then he had came across a huge gate. So that time he started thinking, now what? Is the gate is closed or open? So he used his intelligence. Now he just took U-turn. He says, instead of becoming a laughing stock, let us go to some other direction, rather than trying to figure it out whether it's open, closed. I don't know what will happen. Then he goes, comes to a place where there was no water. It appeared that there are lotuses are there and there is water. So naturally, when you have to pass through a water, you take our garments, you hold our garments. So he starts holding his garment, but others says that others feel, others were walking with him, they found this is awkward. I mean, you are just walking on the land, why you need to be hold your garments? And then he thought, though it looks like it's a water, but it's not water. So he goes ahead where there is a water and falls inside the small pond over there. And then everybody starts laughing, especially Draupadi and queens. They start laughing loudly. Maharaj Yudhishthira tries to control them. He says that he is a king, so why were laughing this? You are insulting him. But Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, through corner of his eyes, actually he encouraged them. Okay, now you enjoy this situation. Because he wanted that let the envy in the heart of Duryodhana increase, so that there will be war and the demons will be annihilated. So like this, the whole sacrifice gets over. Along with Shakuni, Duryodhana goes back to his own kingdom. So when he was going back, he was so morose that Shakuni asked him, "What happened to you? Your face is so pale. You are not eating. You are not speaking. Are you sick? Now what's happening to you?" So that time Duryodhana starts explaining his mental condition. He says that envy in my heart is so much burning, and I feel as if I should enter in body of water, or I should enter in a fire and end my life. Throughout all my life, since childhood, I try to destroy these Pandavas, but they are still flourishing, as if there is a water and then there is lotus flowers are growing. So there is network of stem, but still through that stem the lotus will come up and blossom nicely. So like that, I am trying to put so many obstacles in the life of Pandavas, but still the Pandavas, like that lotus, they overcome all these difficulties and blossoming. And then he starts explaining that I can't survive, I can't even spend one day in my life, because this envy is so unbearable. Now Shakuni tries to reason with him, but still he doesn't get satisfied. He goes home, then he stays. Then Yashakuni goes and informs Dhritarashtra that your son is so morose, so disturbed, that he is not eating anything, is not doing any job, his face is so pale. Then Dhritarashtra also tries to pacify Duryodhana by saying that you are a king, now we are staying in so much opulence, all your household items, now all your bed and all your sittings are made of solid gold, now you have your sets of queens, so you enjoy this opulence that you have. Why you are hankering for some things which you don't have? Maharaj Yudhishthira is so saintly person, and why you are hankering for the wealth of Maharaj Yudhishthira? Be satisfied with what you have. But still, as we explained, that a person who is envious, the first symptom is he loses his intelligence, then he becomes confused. He expects the respect which someone else has got. Here we see Duryodhana was not able to tolerate that why all the people are offering respect to Yudhishthira Maharaj and why not to me. And then naturally with that the rivalry and competition takes place. Duryodhana wanted that somehow or other I will plan in such a way so that I can get what Yudhishthira Maharaj has got. Actually he became so angry at the time of Rajasva sacrifice itself, he wanted to take revenge. So he said, I was so angry when I fell into that water, now I wanted to take my sword and kill Bhima there. But I knew if I do anything, I will also get the same destination like Shishupal, because Pandavas are powerful. If I had uttered even a single ill word there, they would have chopped my head off. So, but then this competition was there in his heart. He was not able to tolerate why only Maharaj Yudhishthira should get this respect. And then naturally, what happens is that envy ultimately leads one to the madness. We have seen in case of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu did so much of tapasya, so much of penances, none of us can even think of doing that much of austerity, or in the history, nobody did so much of austerities. And still, was he satisfied? He wasn't satisfied. Here in Duryodhana also, he wasn't satisfied. So what happens is, though you attain so much material power, still you remain servant to your own senses. In this case, all the demigods were servants of Hiranyakashipu. But was he free? He himself was servant of his own senses. And all the senses, no matter how much you give to the senses will not be satisfied. So that's why attaining all these opulence, Hiranyakashipu was not satisfied. Like Ravana also, he used to travel in his airplane, and whatever beautiful thing he saw, he forcefully grabbed it for his own sense gratification. But he was also not satisfied with that, because we always remain the servant of our senses. But what is the position of a devotee? A devotee gets pleasure in serving. Now today we are celebrating also the Disappearance Day of Jayan and Prabhu. If you just see the life of Jayan and Prabhu, the devotees, those who met him and describe his life, they always would narrate how he was very blissful in Krishna consciousness. He would be performing any activity in a such a blissful way. It was described that how whatever was needed that time for Krishna consciousness, he would do. Though he was very well educated, still he accepted the profession of a taxi driver And whatever he collected throughout the day, he donated to the temple so that the temple devotees can stay peacefully. They can perform so many other services. So many times, single-handedly, he was the only person who was earning there. So all throughout the day, he would work and take care of all the expenditure of the temple. So early in the morning, he would get up and very sincerely chant 16 rounds, very enthusiastically. Once he sits in one position, till he finishes 16 rounds, he would never get up. And after morning program is over, then he would go for his taxi driving. In the evening, when he would come back, whatever services were there in the temple, he would do. Even if that time the service is there to take all the garbage and put it in a garbage can, that also he would do it very blissfully. And would find he was such a good, effective preacher that he brought so many devotees in Krishna conscious movement. And he brought them, he gave them Krishna consciousness, gave them training. And few days they also became the temple president. And he faithfully worked under their presidentship. He never thought that these are the devotees to whom I have cultivated. I made them devotees. I taught them everything from A to Z. But when he saw that these devotees are sincerely making progress in Krishna consciousness, he followed their instructions. And whenever Prabhupada wanted to celebrate Jagannath Rath Yatras in the West, he would single-handedly collect all the Lakshmi. He would go and take all the permits that are required for this Rath Parade. And till now, there are people in the, like those shopkeepers, they still remember that many years back, one person from your movement used to come to our shop and he would ask, solicit donations for that. And he was such a gentleman, he was such a blissful. So just by looking at him, we could see that your movement is mona fide movement. Why? Because an intelligent person, like it is said that if you are cooking a rice, if you just take one grain, expert cook can understand the whole rice is cooked. So the people can see that if one person in your movement is such a gentleman, such a thorough gentleman, and is such a nice person, so naturally whatever teachings is there in your movement must be bona fide. So till now, they also keep donating to our movement. Many times, like even those officers who was signing the permissions, only when Jayanand Prabhu would go, immediately he was able to get all these permissions. And then he himself would carve with his own hands the whole cart with whatever devotees were available. So it is described that many times he would hardly sleep. And he would be doing so much of hard work. Any service that is needed, he did. When there was a need to be a temple president, he did the temple president's post. When there was a need to clean the temple, he cleaned the temple. When there was a need to take the garbage cans to the garbage boxes, so he would do that. But doing all these services, he was blissful. So we can see that any person who takes to the Krishna conscious activities, how he can change his life. Now many times where we people ask these questions, that when we are preaching, that does this process work? Anything that we do in life, that question we ask, whether we go to doctor, we'll ask him whether this, how this medicine works and all. So we say that take to this process of self-realization. So naturally this question comes, will this process work in Kali Yuga? So through the life of this senior Prabhupada disciples, now we can see that they were at one stage of their life that they were totally unaware of anything about whether they are this body or spirit soul, anything about the Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he gave us this process of Krishna consciousness. He gave us a simple principles for us to follow, that you please chant the 16 rounds by which you will develop the attachments towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and follow these four regulative principles which will help in your to quickly progress in one's spiritual life. And those people who took this instruction seriously to their heart, within their life we could see that they were so blissful. Here we find this Hiranyakashipu is performing so much of tapasya so that he can enjoy, he can be blissful. But instead of that, what we have seen him is that he completely lost his intelligence. He became as if a mad person, and naturally his heart became very hard. You will find that in the subsequent narrations in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when he saw his own son has become devotee of Lord Vishnu, to kill Lord Vishnu is doing so much of tapasya. That was his goal of life, so that he can destroy Lord Vishnu and take revenge of Lord killing of his brother. And here his own son is becoming a devotee and he is preaching to him. And everybody in the universe fears me. And this is a small boy of 5 years old and is not at all fearful. So that hurts Hiranyakashipu's ego. And he's naturally, the father is very compassionate to his son. Even if it is a lion or tiger, it is a ferocious animal. Even if a beast in the animal kingdom also, the animal fathers would nicely take care of their children. So naturally, Hiranyakashipu was also affectionate to his son Prahlad Maharaj. But still, because of the envy in his heart, heart becomes so hard that his own son he wanted to kill. And we have seen that how he started torturing him. He threw him in the snake pit, they threw him from the cliff, they tried to trample him under the steps of elephants. So tried to devise so many ways to kill him. So this is what happens to a person who is very envious. Ultimately his heart becomes very hard. We have so many examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sixth canto we have seen, in the Maharaj Chitraketu's story also, that where he had so many wives, only one wife she gets a son. So other queens, they become so envious, they feel that now our position is so low that in the king's palace, at least even king's many servants, they get at least some respects. But our position is so degraded that we don't even get that much of respect, even though we are the queens. The whole attention of a king is towards one queen and his son, whereas we are treated in such a way that even the workers in our palace are better off than us. So slowly, because of this envy, ultimately that leads to that they take a poison and feed it to the infant son. So we can see that naturally the mothers are very affectionate to their children, and especially when the child is in his infancy, the whole attention is given to that, and we see that it is being protected. But the envy is such a thing that you lose totally your intelligence, get totally confused, and then ultimately what was the intention of these queens? That they simply wanted a respect. They wanted an attention of the king. They were not getting it. To get that attention, they wanted to take the life of an infant. So we see that when our heart is filled with envy, we will not hesitate to take any kind of destructive action. So by the life of Hiranyakashipu, we can see that he represents the envy that is there against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although even though he had that proper understanding that he is not this body, but still he was working so much hard for the body. So he has some knowledge, but ultimately, because if you don't take shelter at the lotus feet of the servants of Supreme Personality of Godhead, the proper understanding will not be available to us. So even though he was well versed with the Vedas, still the real purport of the Vedas were not revealed to him. And that's how, in spite of having so much of austerities and attaining highest position in the material world, the moment he started offending his 5-year-old son, who was a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all his pious credits were immediately diminished and he was destroyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So we'll hear those narrations in the evening. So we are just creating the background where we understand that how, why Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in this world for the protection of his devotees. And the person who is envious of Supreme Personality of Godhead, no matter how much hard he tries, ultimately he'll be completely destroyed. And he will never get any peace in his life. Hiranyakashipu, after getting so much of this thing, peace of mind was not there. Whereas Prahlad Maharaj was 5 years old, he was totally fearless. And Lord himself came to protect him, because Prahlad said that Hiranyakashipu, Lord is all pervading, he is everywhere. So just prove the words of his devotee, the Supreme Lord himself came. So if somebody wants to be happy in this world, he has to understand that if he cannot control his senses, then no matter how hard he tries, he will be put to the miseries. Because nature of this material world is, some pleasure will come, but it will be immediately followed by the pain. Whereas the success of human life lies at taking the shelter of the lotus feet of Supreme Lord. We have seen in today's the appearance of Lord Narasimha. We say why he appeared? Because to protect the life of Maharaj Prahlad Maharaj, who was being tortured mercilessly by Hiranyakashipu, he appeared. And anyone who surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead will ultimately be the victorious. So I'll end here. So is there any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you told ki Hiranyakashipu was not able to control his senses. But in that case, how he was able to perform such a severe tapasya?
He performed severe tapasya, but what was the goal of his controlling the senses? So that ultimately he will be able to enjoy more. Whereas a devotee, he performs his tapasya ultimately so that he can serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So on one hand, what we understand from this is that if you perform a tapasya, but if there is no devotion, actually your heart becomes strong. That, let us say, like, the purpose of performing tapasya should be to become humble. Like today, like all of us, we are fasting. But this fasting should make us to the understanding that we should be humble servant of the Lord. It's not that I am able to fast and other persons are not able to fast. So if that understanding gives us some pride, then what is the use of a fasting? So the tapasya should ultimately lead to the humility. Whereas Hiranyakashipu's tapasya, because there was not touched with devotion, ultimately That same tapasya culminated to his ruination. So the tapasya we do, the goal should be to please the Supreme Lord. If any tapasya that we do, if it's not ultimately resulting to the pleasure of the Supreme Lord or to the pleasure of his devotees, that tapasya is useless, or it may even lead to our destruction. So we see in this Hiranyakashipu, though he was doing so much of tapasya, but what was his intention? He wanted to occupy the post of Brahma so that he can enjoy more. Whereas whatever the austerities the devotees they take, as we are mentioning, as we meditate on the lives of Jayan and Prabhu, we can see he took so much of tapasya, he did so much of hard work, but his intention was so that he can please his spiritual master Śrīla Prabhupāda. And because of that, he perfected his life. Until now we see that this is the day where many of Śrīla Prabhupāda's disciples, they are scattered so many places, they will come visit to the temple and remember Jayan and Prabhu's contribution to our Hare Krishna movement. And they will narrate so many wonderful Vaishnava qualities that he has. So we can see the austerities performed by the devotees are glorious, because he does with intention to please the Supreme Lord, to please the Vaishnavas. So he will perfect his life. But the austerities of demons is for their own enjoyment, but ultimately it leads to the destruction. గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్భాగవతంకి శ్రీ ప్రభుపాదకి సమవేద భక్తవృందకి
Hare Krishna. So after the Bhagavatam class, we are going to continue our programs. Now we are going to show a DVD show, a multimedia show.